The War Console Gaming Podcast is now AlchemWiz. It is in the same genre, a gaming podcast, but it is more focused and with a common theme now, which is fantasy. But first, here's a word from our sponsor. And now back to AlchemWiz. Today, we'll be talking about magic systems. Namely, magic systems as used in science fantasy, regular fantasy, and speculative fiction. We'll be examining the variety of magic systems, of which three are most notable, namely eclectic, hard, and soft. And we'll be comparing these three magic systems that are and their various sub-varieties in fantasy with real-life magic systems such as Chaos, Tarot, Candle, Knot, Wicca, etc. as they appear in real-life occultism, and as well as illusionism, which is sleight of hand, which is not really magic, but is more of an entertainment. Please do note that this episode contains some somewhat sophisticated topics. If you're not ready to listen to this episode, please just go somewhere else. Because we will be talking about a field where some religious folks might take offense. But if you're willing to keep an open mind and understand that there will be no swearing in this episode at all, because this is a clean podcast, there will be no obscene references of any sort in this podcast. We will not discuss mutilation, although that is a huge portion of, it's a part of certain forms of chaos magic and certain forms of Satanism or devil worship, as some people might call it. But we're not getting into that area because it would complicate our legal status as a clean podcast. It would probably compromise our ability to make this a clean podcast. So we're not going to get into that discussion. So let's get started. And by the way, the person who is hosting this podcast, yours truly, has 2 decades of experience in the dark arts. I'm not kidding. So I know what I'm talking about, more or less, when I'm talking about the real life magic systems. I more or less have no clue what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the fantasy varieties. But we can just follow along and try to make do, cross whatever bridges we have to, burn whatever bridges we have to when we get there. Okay, let's begin. So for the first type of magic system in real life, we'll be beginning with the real life varieties and comparing them to the fictional, the speculative fiction and the fantasy varieties. So what is chaos magic? Chaos magic is often symbolized by sigils, by spoken chants, by charms, amulets, talismans that are designed by the occultist, that is the magician, to create a certain effect upon the environment. And that effect is produced through the law of sympathy, which is a core law of all magic in the real world. And it is a, put it this way, it's a super, the law of sympathy is a superstitious belief that if you do something, it will produce a similar effect in the wider world around you. If you do something in a smaller form, it will produce a bigger, more visible form of the same thing in the wider world around you. It doesn't always work that way, of course, because, science. But this is just how certain people like to think. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not speaking out against it. I'm just telling you, this is how some people like to derange themselves. But anyways, let's keep moving. The next form of magic we're going to talk about is tarot magic. Tarot magic obviously involves tarot cards. I just threw out my last pack because I don't have a need for it anymore. But tarot cards are supposedly able to conjure magical charms if you place them in certain positions, in certain formations. The formation is not the Celtic cross formation, although that is used sometimes. Formations are more often used in a sense that they can be charmed using actual incantations. What Wiccans might call in their form of magic a spell. The next form of magic is not magic, which is actually is magic. It's just called not magic because it involves knot work. It involves like slip knots, trip knots, and I don't know what other knots. It's been years since I've gone sailing. I don't know what my knots anymore. But I just know that if you go on the water, all miles per hour is called knots, or kilometers per hour, whatever you want to call them. They're called knots, but they're not the same knots. They're spelled the same way, but they're not the same knots. I'm sorry that sounds really absurd, because it does. So knot magic is a form of magic which is actual magic, which is not magic, but it is not magic, you know? Knot magic is where you tie a bunch of knots on alternating sides of a single core knot, and you untie these knots in order to produce the effect that you want while incanting, while making spells and incantations. Candle magic is using colored candles and scented candles to produce certain effects within your mind that will supposedly produce similar effects, you know, law of sympathy again here, similar effects in the wider world around you. There's also runic magic, which is carving certain, currently unintelligible because the language for it has been lost for centuries, symbols, you know, Norse symbols, Nordic symbols, in stones and in wooden things like furniture. Although I'd highly advise against you actually carving up your furniture, and basically using that to cast spells and to cast curses, cast hexes. Runic magic doesn't really have a huge, I'd say their culture is not that big on the law of threefold return, which is where if you do something bad, it'll come back to bite you in the, you know where, three times more powerful in a couple of, especially sometime from the time you do the curse. But they do have certain fail safes for not having people do bad things, like, you know, just outright black magic and cursing people's cattle. Or in modern days, cursing people's businesses that they don't own themselves and they're not shareholders of, and they're trying to cause them to fall out of business, it will come back to bite you. Karma, you know, is like they say, is a, I'm not going to use that word, but you know what I'm saying, right? Karma is that thing. It will come back to bite you. And then other forms of magic include illusionism, which is entertainment, it's sleight of hand, it's what you often might think of as magic, is card tricks, pen tricks, disappearing tricks, cutting tricks, which are not cutting. It's actually where you cut a person in half, but actually half of them's hiding underneath the table. The other half is another person's, you know, other side, and it looks cool, but it's actually just fake. It's all fake. It's not just fake news. It's just fake. So Donald Trump has nothing on this. And then let me see what other types of magic I know about. There is There are other forms of magic such as sorcery, which is where, not sorcery per se, but sorcery itself is where you call upon spirits or spirit entities, supernatural entities, to do your work. There is another form of sorcery which is actually part of chaos magic, which is called servitor sorcery or artificial elemental or thought form sorcery, which is where you create a so-called artificial thought form, artificial elemental, I'm not going on a script right now. You create something called a servitor, or an egregory, artificially, by infusing part of your energy into a ball between your hands, or something like that. I forgot, this has been years since I've done this. But you infuse your own life force into a energy ball, give it a certain part of your personality or something, and give it instructions, and send it into the great abyss, which is basically a way of saying, you know, send it into the sky. And it will supposedly do things for you. You can't ask it to lift cars or anything because it won't have that power unless you yourself are telekinetic. And based on science, we know nobody is. So it's not possible to lift things with lift cars and lift paperweights and stuff with this thing. But if you want to make $1 million, I'm not suggesting this because after all, it is superstition. But if you want to make $1 million, say you just send out a servitor. Actually, you have to send out 1 million of them. And so you make $1 on each servitor. Have each servitor bring in $1 a day, or $1 a month, or $1 a year, whatever. And then just send out 1 million of them. And supposedly, you might be able to make $1 million with this stuff. Don't take my word for it. In fact, don't take anyone's word for it, because that theory is garbage. It's just superstition. But It's what people in the world of the occult and the world of the of magic in the real world, you know, the world of witchcraft, the world of Wicca. Well, not really Wicca. I don't want to insult the Wiccans, but the world of the supernatural believers. This is what they believe. And then there's other forms of magic that I'm not going to get into because they may compromise the cleanness of this podcast. And then, so let's compare that to... Actually, no, before I do that, let me first plug something. I know I plugged a anchor ahead of this segment, but I'm going to have to plug something else. I have a website now. Well, I've had a website for a while. It's called Nathan Magus, nathanmag.us. It's not a magazine. It is a... I'm planning to sell things and write a blog on it. I'm sell things from it and write a blog on it. I'm not sure what I might sell. I might sell web hosting because I have worked in the IT field for a long time. But also I might just, you know, sell trinkets like dream catchers, Ouija boards, stuff like that. I'm not sure what I'm going to sell. But I'm going to write a blog on it for sure. I'm setting up the software for it right now. I'm coding it all by hand in PHP, in personal homepage or PHP hypertext processor, depending on how you want to call it. It's a recursive acronym, so it's kind of confusing. But I'm coding it in PHP. That's not a drug, that's a programming language for the internet. I'm coding it in PHP by hand right now as we speak. Well, not really as we speak. I'm talking to this on my kitchen counter, and I'm not near the computer because the computer's on the other side of the room. But I'm writing out the code by hand. I'm going to have the website ready soon, and hopefully by the time you finish listening to this podcast, I'm going for like 20 or 30 minutes today, you will be able to visit the website and probably see my RSS feed, which is where my podcast, I mean, well, not my podcast, which is where my blog will have most of its content at. And you'll be able to read my articles just by putting it into a feed catcher, RSS feed, RSS aggregator or something like that. Don't try to put into an Atom aggregator because it won't work. It's going to be RSS only. I'm not doing Atom with this feed, I'm just RSS. Maybe I might put it through Feedburner, I don't know, I don't really care. But it's mostly going to be just, you know, RSS itself. I don't really do well with Atom. I don't know how to do the global universal IDs or something like that, or unique identifiers. I don't do that well with the Microsoft products, so I'm going to just work with the RSS standard for now. And my blog would just completely run off an RSS feed. The actual blogging software will be my own. And there may be more than one person actually typing to the blog. It depends on who logs into the site and who registers on the site and who is given permission to log into the blog software itself, which would just be my blog.php page. But if you visit, you have to register on the site to get access to the RSS feed, which will be a separate script. It'll be open to the public. But if you get on the blog.php PHP page, you probably will be able to see, I don't know, maybe the link to the RSS feed. Unless you know someone who has access to the website, you probably should register on the website to get access to this RSS feed, because this is where all my blog articles are going to be. It's not WordPress, it's hand-coded. It's custom code, everything. It's my portfolio of work, basically. And then the web hosting is another thing. I might plug that later because I don't have a good clue what I'm going to sell with the web hosting. I have about 50 gigabytes of hard drive space on the web on the reselling account, and maybe a good chunk of bandwidth. I could give up maybe 5 terabytes per person. I have like supposedly unlimited, but you know no hoster actually has unlimited bandwidth. So probably 5 terabytes a month per bandwidth, and 250 to a gig of. Not 250, 500 megabytes to a gig of web space, and I don't know, some other features. I'll plug it later on in the same podcast. But anyways, that's my idea for what I'm going to sell on my website. And so you just visit nathanmag.us, Nathan Magus, to visit that website. And anyways, I have to stop this plug here because I'm taking longer to plug this thing than I did to, you know, to tell you about the magic systems in real life. Anyways, next segment we'll be moving on to is the segment about fantasy, you know, fictitious magic systems. I'll see you then. Now for magic systems in fiction, especially speculative fiction, fantasy, and science fantasy, such as Star Wars. There's 3 types of magic systems in fiction, namely, and there's several different sub-varieties of each. There's hard magic, which is scientifically or technologically inspired magic. It's very predictable, not like the law of sympathy, which could backfire 50% of the time in real life, but very predictable. If you put out your hand and snap your fingers, half the universe will disappear, or half the universe's population will disappear. That is more or less a form of hard magic because it's predictable. You know what the end result is going to be, it will happen every time you do the thing that causes it to happen. And to activate that action, you have to have some kind of artifact. That is a form of hard magic. Soft magic is a little more roundabout. You don't know if the thing will happen. You might have an artifact involved. You don't know if the artifact will do anything. And there's a chance the artifact might be fake. But if you do get lucky, have the right artifact, and do the action is exactly as prescribed in the Grimoires, there's a 50-50% chance it may work out. And a 50-50% chance either your character ends up dead or nothing happens. In eclectic magic, is more similar to real life magic, is that in eclectic magic, so it's like voodoo basically. You have a certain number of activities you can do. There's different types of steps to get to the same wanted result, and it doesn't always work out. So let's say you have a monster chasing you. What type of magic would you want? I'll give you 2 seconds to figure this out. It's hard magic, because if there's a monster chasing you and you want to turn it into a frog or, say, a rat and stomp on it, which I don't suggest abusing small animals, but say you want to do that, you would prefer to have a hard magic first and then an eclectic one and then, of course, a soft one, because the soft one usually may or may not work. The eclectic one at least has a good chance of working. The hard one is definitely going to work. In my opinion, hard magic in fiction is designed after technology in real life. We didn't invent hard magic in fiction, I think, until we had actual technological progress, say around the Industrial Revolution, because that's also around the time that science fiction and modern fantasy came about. Beforehand, we had something called Deus Ex Machina, which means God outside the machine, which is a very crappy way of telling a story. It's horrible. It's outright atrocious. It is a bad way of telling a story, is to introduce elements from outside the story that you didn't tell the reader about would be in there at the beginning of the story. It's a bad way of telling a story, in my opinion. Some people might disagree with me. That's your opinion. I have my own. My opinions are mine. Go get your own. Now, as for how these magic forms compare to real life magic. Like I said, a lot of real life magic is eclectic. It may or may not work, but there's a good chance if you do the procedure right and follow the right, procedures, and there's more than one, not like soft magic where there's only one procedure you can do, and if you do it right, you can still screw it up and not get the result you want. In real life magic, it's eclectic because there are different ways, different modalities to get what you want, the same thing. And it may or may not work, but if one doesn't work, you keep moving on to the next one, the next one, the next one. So if not magic doesn't work, try tarot. If tarots don't do a thing, try runes. If runes don't do a thing, try candles. Maybe they'll work then. It just depends on what you really want. And quite frankly, the universe to me is like a machine. And I guess I might be biased in saying this because I'm kind of an Elon Musk fan. But and at the same time, I have some contempt for the guy for his recent behavior. More on that on a different date. the universe is like a machine. It's a simulation. It's essentially a video game. I would disagree with the theory that there are NPCs in this video game. I think everyone is an active player. I think it's just a massive PvPvE or whatever you want to call it. And right now we have a VT element, a versus time element, because we're running out of time to save our planet from global warming. But that's my opinion. Yours may differ. In fact, my opinions are my own. They're copyright me. Go get your own opinions and don't copy off of mine. Although I'd love to let you have them, but there'll be a small price to pay. It's called your soul and you have to give it to me. Just kidding. Anyways, so basically, life is like a video game. It's a PvPvE and maybe a VT as well. In the universe, in a lot of cases, like a computer program. We are all just part of the simulation, because if you really think about it, if you try to observe something, it will change based on your observations. and you only have one perspective. Everyone else has a different unique perspective from you. No one has the same perspective. So how do you know that you're not just a player in some massive, you know, sick joke or ancestor style video game, some simulation that our descendants have created our ancestors have created, or whoever has created to study us, or to study our reactions, or study what's the best reaction to do in a certain form. You know, there's a theory behind real life beliefs of reincarnation, which is that you may get other lives to live, but you really live more or less the same life over and over again. And every time you get to try a different thing, try something new in the next life, try something new in the next life, try something new in the next life, and so on and so forth. And that would be fun if it were real, but I don't think you get unlimited respawns in the universe as a video game. I think there's a limited number, and if you keep screwing things up, if you keep ending up as Adolf Hitler in your various lifetimes, eventually karma will come back to bite you, and they will send you to, you know, that fiery burning place, which we're not going to get into huge detail about. Suffice to say, there's at least four different religions that believe, three or four different religions that believe that you will end up as a burned to a crisp if you keep doing bad things to people. So that's a shout out and a warning to people who want to, you know, take military grade weaponry into places where people weren't asking for anything, any kind of harm, and just harm them. Because if across your lifetimes or across your multiple respawns into this video game called the universe, if you keep doing that, you're gonna end up getting burned yourself. I mean, that's the way things work apparently. And to that extent, if you need help, just seek help. You know, people are going to be listening if you need to get some kind of help, and I'm sure they'll be willing to, they'll be willing to lend you a hand, because people are nice. And in my experience, people are usually kind and nice, you know, in their character, in their practice. I mean, in theory, people can be evil, but in practice, people tend to be good. And you should always try to seek help whenever you need help, because that's the right way to do things. Whatever you do, just remember to do right. Don't do wrong, because wrong is wrong. Two wrongs do not make a right, and wrong is always wrong. But whatever you do, do right, even if it doesn't feel right. I mean, whatever feels right, you do right. But even if society says it's wrong, because sometimes society does say it's the right things are wrong, it just depends on, you know, how you really feel you should be reacting to a certain situation. And anyways, I think I'm going off on a tangent here about right and wrong, but this was mainly about magic this episode, so we're gonna get back on course now. I know I'm running out of steam here, but I'm trying not to give up too soon, because I'm trying to go for 30 minutes. I've only had, I think, about maybe 25. So yeah, let's do another 4 or 5 minutes of this stuff. And you'll notice that also that I'm coughing a lot because I have a cold. I hope it's an 11-week-old cold. It won't leave my basement of my throat. Bad joke, sorry, I'm a millennial, I shouldn't be making this joke. It's like a millennial grandson or millennial child that won't leave the basement of their parents' house, and they need to be kicked out. And I'm not gonna make the ice joke that I made, you know, weeks ago about deporting the cold, because there's no point. It's just way too contentious, that joke. But yeah, it's a bad child that won't leave the house, and you have to kick it out somehow, and I don't know how to do that, because I'm actually the youngest generation in my household, and where I live, I live on my own already. I don't know why this coach just won't leave me, you know? Another tangent there. I digress. Anyways, real life magic is like eclectic magic. If you want a good example of real life hard magic, you need to look at technology. If you want a real good example of real life soft magic, well, there isn't really any, but you can code it into a video game, and then you can have real life soft magic. So really, the only place you can find soft magic in real life is in video games. Hard magic is technology. Eclectic magic, that's just what people call magic. You know, as for, well, I guess I might have to disagree with myself slightly, because I did make a mistake there. Illusionism, or conjuring, or sleight of hand. Sleight of hand is a form of hard magic in real life, but like I said, it's entertainment, it's fake, it's not real magic. So anyways, we're going probably into 30 minutes now, so I'm going to call it an episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the longer form. I know I wasn't going on a script. probably talking too fast for myself, even for myself, I mean, probably talking way too fast for you guys, because I have pressured speech, you know, I'm not going to get into that. It's that's private proprietary information. That's my personal business. That's none of yours. But so basically, this is the end of the episode. I'll see you in the next one. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. Please feel free, if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed the new form, or if you just enjoyed this show, including the old War Console episodes in the past, to please make a financial contribution. It would be much appreciated. And I'll see you in the next one. So, yeah, I'll see you in the next one. I'm sorry for having to run two plugs at the same time, namely, this plug at the very end of the podcast, as well as the sponsored, if I was able to put it in, the sponsored segment right before this one. But I've decided I'm going to offer a gig of space, 5 terabytes, 2 to 5 terabytes of bandwidth, and 10 park domains, 20 add-ons, 30 FTP accounts, or actually 31 FTP accounts total. Including the for the base website, as well as 25 email addresses, including forwards, and up to 10 databases. I'm trying to think of what else. PHP support included, CGI support included, no SSH, and then if you want SSL, you can get them from Let's Encrypt through the auto SSL feature in cPanel. All that in my web hosting offer that I'm going to give out, and I'm not going to give out, that I'm going to sell to people who listen to this podcast, and to people who visit my website, and to people who do other things that are related to the NathanMag.us/NathanMagus website. I'm not sure what the actual hosting URL will be at this point, but you can find out more information if you go to NathanMag.us or NathanMagus. Within the same site, it's NathanMag.us, spells NathanMagus. If you go to that website within, say, the next week or so, and I prefer if you do it sooner rather than later, you will find out information about the hosting offer at some point, probably in the blog. Well, you have to get the RSS feed for that, so you have to register an account on the site to do that. Or you can find out about it whenever SBR, which is the Sorcerer's Battle Royale game that I'm currently making, which is now a 2D game instead of a 3D game. When that goes online, you will find out about it in one of the pages on that site. That's a different site. It's at battleroyale.nathanmag.us. And it is Nathan Magus' Sorcerer's Battle Royale game. It's based on Spellbreak, but it's not as flashy and is not the same thing. Because Spellbreak is a different game by a different developer, I don't want to copy them because that would be, you know, piracy, and I don't want to do that. So it's gonna have a few spells you can use, mostly runes and a few servitors, and you'll be able to chase people around and basically turn them into cats, and that's about it. And that's how you win the game, is by being the only person in the game who's not a cat at the end of the every 33 minute, 33 second, and 33 millisecond game duration. Yeah, that's how long you have to turn everyone else into cats. It's 33 minutes, 33 seconds, and 33 milliseconds. So 33:33:33 is the amount of time you have to turn all the other 12 characters. This is 13 characters per room. All the other 12 characters into cats, and there will probably, because there'll be a MySQL-based system as opposed to the blog, which is a SQLite-based system, both will be in PHP, which will be the main interactivity method, main server-side scripting language. So because it'll be a MySQL database, it'll have more space on it. And I have the whole 30 gigs of my VPS, which I'm putting this on, to use, and it have its own dedicated CPU, you know, portion. So, I mean, you'll be able to play with, you know, in upwards of 100 rooms, maybe 130 rooms even, with 13 people per room, and you have 33 minutes roughly to eliminate all the other people and turn them into cats by using spells, or actually casting runes and launching servitors Stormtroopers like guardian missiles. They hunt down whoever is not you that's nearest to the servitor. Whereas a rune cast is more like a bullet. It will fly in one direction until it hits anything. Rune cast can stick to walls. Servitors can fly through walls. Put it that way. So that's my game idea. And if you go to the game at some point when it's ready, I don't know when, probably maybe within the next 2 weeks or so, or if you visit the main website, Nathan Magus, you know, NathanMag.us, which is Nathan Magus, spells Nathan Magus, within the next week or so, preferably sooner than later, you'll find out about the hosting offer too. And so, with that said, I'm ending the episode, but I'll see you in the next one. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you contribute some bling, some cha-ching to my episode. I mean, to my podcast, so I can, you know, hopefully not just have to rely on a web hosting offer and a video game to get people to, you know, help me. I don't know how to say this. It sounds like I'm begging for money here, but to get people to give me, you know, stuff so I can use it to make my offerings better so that you can enjoy my stuff better, you know? Let's put it that way. Yeah. Anyways, I'll see you in the next one. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. God bless. Blessed be. Thank you and goodbye.